Skagway Assembly appoints a local business leader to join the table, and Haines Assembly narrows its field for the borough manager job. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway Assembly on Tuesday evening appointed Jim Sager to the open seat vacated by newly elected Mayor Mark Schaefer. The Assembly met in a special meeting Tuesday, and the only item on the agenda was an executive session for White Pass lease negotiations. The appointment of someone to the empty seat was expected to come up at Thursday's regular meeting. But on Tuesday, before going into executive session, Assemblyman Dan Henry said if Mayor Schaefer had a recommendation for the seat, they could be approved and seated in time for the Thursday meeting. Schaefer said he talked with Jim Sager and asked for a no objection from the Assembly to his appointment. But there was some hesitation on a couple Assembly members' part, at least on the timing of the appointment. Assemblyman Gary Hansen said the appointment was expected to take place at Thursday's meeting. Sticking to that assumption would allow more notice and more opportunity for public comment at Thursday's meeting if residents wanted to weigh in.
I think it should be discussed in a more public forum. It wasn't on the agenda.
It's unfinished business.
Wasn't on the agenda under unfinished business. We're adding to the agenda right now.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, since it is such an important decision, there may be some citizens that would want to weigh in on that if it was on the agenda for Thursday night.
Hansen also noted Duppy Takaro came in not far behind Spencer Morgan in the vote for the second assembly seat and that maybe he should be considered for appointment. But Schaefer and Henry said typically any appointment is simply done on the recommendation of the mayor, with no objection from the assembly. Henry said there wasn't a need for more public notice on the matter, and Schaefer said he couldn't remember the last time an assembly objected to a mayoral appointment suggestion.
What are we not giving proper notice to?
I don't think we've ever had it on an agenda that I've ever seen, Gary. It's simply the mayor asked for an appointment, and I've never seen any actual dissension from the mayor's suggestion, to be honest with you.
And Henry said the appointment does not need any public input or comment. The appointment has always been done on the recommendation of the mayor.
If we pack the room with 300 people, as a for instance, there is not going to be a roll call vote of the citizens. It will, and has, and always will, unless there is some sort of code change, be a recommendation given by the mayor at the mayor's discretion. That then puts the assembly in a position to either approve or not approve that. Whatever the public weighs in on, however heavily they wish to speak, it is entirely up to the discretion of the mayor to make the appointment, and then it is either accepted by the assembly or not. It's not an open vote. There's already been a vote. That's what we do. I don't know how else to explain it.
Borough code states the assembly shall appoint someone to a vacant assembly seat within 30 days. It does not specifically state that only the mayor may suggest an appointment. Newly elected assembly member Spencer Morgan also said he thought Takaro should at least be considered for the appointment because of his desire to serve and his support from voters in the election. But he also said he did not object to Sager. Hansen also said he did not object to Sager specifically, just to the lack of public notice about the appointment. The assembly voted 5-1 to appoint Sager, with Hansen dissenting. Sager said Wednesday he was approached by Mayor Schaefer last week and asked for a couple days to think about whether he wanted to serve or not, but he said he's been planning to run for an assembly seat in the next 3 to 5 years.
I've been kind of waiting for that time frame where I thought it was right that I could, you know, spend the time the position requires without adversely affecting the family. But when an opportunity like this, or when this opportunity arose, I took it upon myself to think of it as the mayor's asking something of you, and by all means, you know, I love this community and I'm willing to do whatever I can for it. And I looked at this opportunity as, you know, yes, I have to, you know, help the mayor out in the community and kind of look at it like that.
Sager is general manager at Westmark Inn. He's lived in Skagway 23 years and currently serves as chair of the Convention and Visitors Bureau Committee. On Thursday, when the Assembly meets in its regular meeting, it will take up a draft resolution from an August meeting to prioritize capital improvement projects. It will also discuss an ordinance to allow the mayor and assembly members to participate in meetings via phone more than is currently allowed. Under new business, the group will discuss comments it wants to submit to the state about changes to the statewide transportation plan. An amendment to that plan currently under consideration would strip funding for the Klondike Highway improvements. Money would still be included to replace the Captain William H. Moore Bridge. A proposal to demolish the old clinic will also be discussed, as well as a proposal for a Skagway River Delta survey. An executive session is also scheduled to discuss the diocese land sale and White Pass lease negotiations. The Skagway Assembly meets at 7 p.m. Thursday in Assembly Chambers. The Haynesboro Assembly narrowed down a list of candidates for the borough manager job it wants to start a conversation with. The Assembly in work sessions has narrowed down the field of 20 applicants. On Tuesday, the group consisted of Mayor Stephanie Scott, Assembly members Deborah Schnabel, Joanne Waterman, Jerry Lapp, and outgoing member Steve Vick. Incoming Assembly member Diana Lapham was also involved in the discussion. Dave Barry and outgoing member Norm Smith were not present. They chose an informal group of four applicants the mayor will set up Skype or telephone interviews with. The group said it's not a list of finalists, as they might still decide to talk to others from the group of 20 applicants, but they plan on coming up with some introductory questions to ask the four candidates. Schnabel is also enlisting the help of Charlotte Brown, a professor in human resource management at the University of Alaska Southeast. Schnabel said Brown is offering some informal assistance and ideas for questions to ask job candidates in the first stages. The following candidates were chosen by the Assembly to arrange a phone or Skype call with. Jim Pascal has served as the administrator of Princeton, New Jersey for the past 30 years. He has a Master's of Public Administration. Carl Pilgrim currently lives in Booth Bay Harbor, Maine, but previously worked as city manager in Holbrook, Arizona, town manager in Booth Bay Harbor, and town manager in Newport, Maine. He has a Master's of Business Administration. David Sosa currently lives in North Carolina, where he is soon to retire from a career in the Marine Corps. His current job involves regional planning for military communities. He has a Master's of Public Administration and has visited Haynes before. The only Alaskan in the group, Susan Jensen of Anchorage, currently serves as operations manager for a large homeowners association. She also serves on the board of directors of the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce and Commonwealth North, a nonpartisan public policy forum in Alaska. She has a Master's of Public Administration with rural emphasis. Mayor Scott is arranging phone or Skype calls with the candidates, tentatively scheduled for the last week in October. Some smaller Southeast Alaska communities don't have federally funded jobs, but residents still have strong reasons to care about the federal budget. Emily Foreman spoke with some local leaders about how the government shutdown has made an impact. Here's what she found.
When I called officials in cities across coastal Southeast Alaska and asked about how the government shutdown affects their communities, the response was personal.
My son works for the Weather Service, and he was going to purchase a brand new four-wheeler from AC and go moose hunting with me, and he's unable to do that since he's working for free.
Skip Ryman is the borough manager in Yakutat, and his son works for the Weather Service, one of the vital services in Yakutat where employees are working for free, at least until Congress funds the federal government. He tells me how an investment in a four-wheeler makes a big difference in a household budget.
I have heard that a subsistence moose to a person in Yakutat is the equivalent of about $3,800 on an annual grocery bill.
Just like the dent one moose makes in a family's grocery bill, one furloughed or unpaid job makes a big dent in the economic well-being of a small rural community.
I would have to guess. I would say that, oh, a good 15 to 20% of our population is directly negatively affected by this.
That's because much of the population is employed by the Forest Service, Park Service, Federal Aviation Agency, and Weather Service. And without a paycheck, people are tightening their spending. Ryman worries about how that might trickle down.
And it's certainly going to touch the retail stores. And there may be an effect later on about on the loss of tax revenue.
Still, Ryman says that many of his neighbors who are federal employees continue to work. ensuring the community receives vital services without the promise of a paycheck. Cultural preservation efforts are also vulnerable as the shutdown continues. I spoke with Gary Williams.
I'm the executive director for the Organized Village of Cake.
About the KQ Cannery in Cake. It's a national historic landmark and a treasured artifact of Alaska's salmon industry. The cannery needs major repairs, and Williams is waiting on the paperwork. He's worried about what would happen if the city can't start the work before winter.
Well, it could potentially lead to loss of the building if we can't make the repairs that are needed.
I also spoke with city officials in Angoon, Tenneke Springs, and Pelican, where there aren't furloughs or direct effects, but many are apprehensive about how health reform will be implemented after the shutdown, or what changes there might be to how they receive veteran benefits. Skip Ryman from Yakutat does a good job in summing up the general sentiment.
I really think the full effect of this probably isn't going to be felt until it's over.
In Sitka, I'm Emily Foreman.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Emily Foreman for help with this report. Don't forget to join us Thursday at 10 a.m. for Talk Around Town. We will be discussing the Sobolov-McRae Veterans Village and Wellness Center. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.